Welcome back to an exciting episode of $2 Creature Feature, an actual play Monster of the Week podcast with Althaven. I'm your host and keeper of mysteries, Mr. Ray, and I use they, he pronouns. With me today is my wonderful Season 3 cast. I don't know why I'm making that distinction because it's the same cast from Season 2. But, Cass, would you like to introduce yourselves and your characters?
We're all a little different now than we were like a year and a half ago. We've
not
changed
me.
And grown.
Same person.
Megan has a new hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had this for over 5 years.
Okay, maybe not.
Hi. I'm Laura, she, her. I'm playing Janine Kellogg, the athlete, also she, her.
I'm Megan, she, her, and I'm playing Reno. Monstrous, I feel, does not truly explain Reno, but that is the playbook I have. She, her.
And I'm Nye. I use he, him pronouns, and I play Agent Moth, the professional who uses she, her pronouns. And yes, Megan, I agree. Professional does not describe Nye Elder, but...
We are beyond the playbooks already.
I know.
It's only been 4 episodes.
Exactly. Yeah. I fully agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So just to kind of date this, our first couple of episodes have already come out, and I am so happy that people are loving the new season. So this episode it's going to be a little bit of a talky episode. We're going to do some house cleaning. In the sense of, you know, we got to do the end of session stuff, and then we're going to introduce some new stuff for this season, because now all the characters have met and we can do this.
A talkie, I hear they're all the rage these days.
It's like our characters have opinions about each other now.
Yes. And I mean, I don't know what time's going to look like, but, you know, worst case scenario, we might do a scene or two of, you know,
opinions.
Everybody.
All right, I'm gonna say what I think about all of you.
Yes,
you're all pretty cool. Thank you.
I got feelings about you people.
Yeah.
Reno just getting up on the table. I have thoughts about
I have
you.
Thoughts.
You're all fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done. I'm getting off the table now.
Give me your loose change.
Okay. Before we go any further, Laura, you are playing an unusual playbook, are you not?
I am. Yes.
So you want to talk to us about that?
Yeah. I have been introducing Janine as the athlete, which is, you know, some of you may have gone, I've never heard of that playbook. And that's fair. It is a fan-made playbook by someone with goes by Unseen Librarian. And I think they've done a couple of different variations on it. But it's the general idea is you are an athlete. It's most geared to like a literal sports ball player, like on a team or in college or something. I'm taking it in a little bit different direction, which you will hear more about as the season goes on. Janine is actually based on a character that I first made for a one-shot we did, an unrecorded one-shot. And for that, I had used a different fan-made playbook called The Thrill Seeker, which is super fun, but like a little overpowered for a character that you're going to play for an entire season. So Ray and I talked through options, and I found the athlete. Folks may also have seen... I forget if it might be one of the sort of like semi-official ones. There's another playbook called the Lucador that's actually very, very similar to this. So if you're familiar with this one, the athlete is similar. But yeah, I mean, its top stat is tough. And you sort of get the like playbook move is called Know Your Role, which you get to choose like, this is sort of the type of athlete that you are. Janine is the flyer, which is you don't actually fly, but you come close. And it is basically gives you methods of avoiding harm. So, yeah, thank you, Unseen Librarian, for making it. I am enjoying this very much, and we're glad to be able to show off your work to an audience.
Wait a second. Yeah. Reno could have been a luchador?
Oh, yeah.
Have a mask? Okay, there's still time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look,
let me make a note.
Five levels,
Megan, just... Megan, follow your dreams. Yeah. Follow your dreams.
I am a rudo. I am a bad guy. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to mute myself, make a note.
So, fun fact, whenever I design NPCs, a lot of the times I take a look at them like, okay, what playbook would they fit into? And that kind of helps me design the character. In season two, I did this. And whenever I approached Jackson, had I played Jackson in any one shots, I would have played him as the athlete, like until he had basically up until the finale of season two, like he was like a sort of like mix between the athlete and the chosen. But yeah, I really liked the chosen for Jackson, and I would have loved to see what Jackson would have been like in that role. So.
And if you're listening to this and you've just started with season three, you've never listened to season two, Jackson, yeah, he's all right. Yeah, meh, mid. So, yeah, go back to listen.
Wow.
Go back to listen to season two.
Listeners,
I know why that's...
nobody else. Those are nice opinions alone, and we would like to all tell you that we have no connection at all to that.
See, but now they're going to go back to season two, listen to it all the way through to find out why that opinion would be controversial.
Risky. Risky. We'll see if it pays
kidding.
Off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bold strategy, Cotton.
Let's see if it pays off. Yeah, we're just gonna cut to that like that scene from the Simpsons, the Itchy and Scratchy, where it's like, and Nye went on his mission to heaven and died along the way.
Oh no, we can't Poochie Nye. No. Listen. I don't want to be associated with that opinion, but oh no, Nye's not Poochie.
No, we wouldn't do that to Nye this time.
Never. Hey, y'all, Ray's waiting to poochie one of us, so we got to be careful, okay? Now we know his
all
plan.
Right, okay,
yeah. Okay, we watch out. Okay. Everyone, we have to watch Ray. Okay, very careful.
Very careful. Right. Okay, so we ended our arc, and I realized, like, these questions, you know, now here we are at season three. It says end of session, so technically we should be doing this at the end of every episode.
Nah.
But that is way too much.
No, it's way too much. And I think also it doesn't like work because like then you would level up really quickly, like really quickly. You'd get through like a character in like what? Like half the time? Nah. Because like two of them, you're always at least getting one because you're always learning something new about the world and you're always saving. Well, maybe not always, but you're usually saving someone from like mm-hmm. dying. So, like, you would always be getting one, and, like, geez, you'd just be like, boop, 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 boop.
I rather suspect that when Michael Sands was making this, he was thinking that one session is one mystery. So that's, like, literally Monster of the Week, and, like, sort of each yeah. session is, like, its own arc. And in that sense, that leveling makes more sense to me.
It also probably falls into the, like, category that I think a lot of TTRPGs do completely by accident, and I'm not like having a go at anyone, but a lot of them do kind of assume you got like a good 3 to 5 hours to play around with, whereas we have like barely two, partially because we record a podcast, but also just life stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like, yeah, if you got like 3 to 5, you can have a great mystery for yeah. one session.
That's true.
You have like barely an hour and a half. No.
Well, we're all meat, no fat. That's why.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's premium here. Yeah. There's not an ounce of fat on us.
Not at all. We don't edit anything out. Okay. Right. We definitely don't have chunks of stuff where we just entertained ourselves for a while. That never happens.
We definitely don't have literally a bloopers reel sitting there waiting to be edited.
Hey, who's to say if this will be in there? Who knows? Am I editing this one? We'll find out. Hey, future Megan, if you're editing this, think about it.
I usually honestly don't cut that much. That's one thing I love about us is we're all very professional. Like we don't go on for hours just like goofing around. We save that for the before times. And then we like start recording and then we're like down to business. I don't have any time. What is this? Okay. Anyways,
level up. I'm feeling it.
End of session. At the end of each session, the keeper will ask the following questions. Did we conclude the current mystery?
Yeah. Yeah.
To shreds, I would say.
Yeah, we blew a guy's head off. Or I did, specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a kind of solution.
Reno, I mean, ate something.
That's pretty definitive in my book, you know, when you blow something to bits.
Yeah, I would say you concluded the current mystery, yes.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to do a joke. You can go.
Okay, yeah, we don't have time for your jokes. I'm just kidding. Did we save someone from certain death or worse?
Here's my argument. We brought Janine into danger, but then Janine didn't die. Partly because of other stuff we did.
I'd also like to point out that we saved the world, which means that we at least saved one of the 7 billion people on the planet. So statistically, one of those people might have been at harm.
Who said the world was at risk?
Moth did not shoot Falco right away, which is a win.
That's a kind of...
That is true.
We saved one of the two guards after we brought them into danger. True.
Janine literally did that. That's on Janine. Got herself and that guard the hell out of there.
No, I think Moth was the one that saved the guard with her body. And was it? Or did Moth fuck up? I can't remember which one of us fucked up. One of us couldn't.
No, it was Janine who fucked it up. Janine had the bad role.
It was a team effort, though. One guy's still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cute one that I saved. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Reno didn't kill a guard, just bit him a bit.
The older one that was a day from retirement and had 3 kids.
Oh my God, Ray.
And 8 grandkids.
Whoa, Ray. There's an assumption.
Violence.
I don't know. Maybe she's into the older gentleman. You don't know.
No, that's the one that died. The security guard that died.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe she would have gone from. Maybe he had he had that kind of what's the word?
The silver fox.
Silver fox.
No, Clooney, you know that kind of.
You will.
Yeah, if he was a George Clooney, then she would have saved him. Yeah, but he was just very plain.
Well, I'm the one amazing, casting this, so not, yeah, the yeah. the character.
Oh
probably
shit! She
does
let George Clooney look like that. Fuck! Oh, she's gonna be annoyed now.
It's okay. It was his Caesar haircut era, so.
I was about to say, sometimes you have a really handsome person, but they have, they have a bad haircut.
So they gotta die.
You know. Yeah. No. I'm maiming.
Yeah. Letting them die.
We saved at least a person.
Spiritually, we've saved people.
Yeah. Could have been worse. I'm not saying it was the best, but it really much could be worse. It was an entire casino worth of people. You know what? Here's the argument. Reno, being a rabid child, got most of the people out of that casino. On purpose? No. But there could have been a lot more casualties if she hadn't bit some people. Hey, did we convince you, Ray, that we saved somebody?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
There we go. You just, it's the old tactic of speak lots and very fast and confusingly, and people will agree with you.
Yeah.
I was going to say no, but you all did save the security guard. So I'm going to give you that.
Yeah.
That's very generous.
We have space to grow. Yeah. We have space to grow.
All right. Next question.
Yeah.
Next question. Did we learn something new and important about the world?
Janine sure did.
Poor Janine. Yeah. The last one is for Janine. Yes. Monsters are real.
But only if you work for the government. Well, no, if you work for a private enterprise. Yeah, I feel like Janine, it's kind of like a line graph. You know, it rises very rapidly, very suddenly. And then she starts getting the sales pitch and she's like, it plateaus a little bit okay. It's just late stage capitalism. And then it immediately spikes up again where it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So there's a brief moment where she's like, okay, my knowledge is continuing. It's not dramatically. Oh, there we go.
Yeah. This is called the poor Janine experience point. Yeah.
Poor Janine.
Yeah.
Poor Janine. Did we learn something new and important about one of the hunters?
I think that's like a gimme for the first arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a gimme.
We learned their names and their faces
and their pronouns. And
one of them is absolutely a shape shifting alien.
And their hairstyle. And one of
them, Janine. Yeah.
Also, one's a dog.
I know. And which one? Okay, that's the true secret.
Oh jeez.
One pulls off a mask and it's a little like terrier underneath.
No, we're doing great. Oh,
okay. Just like puppeting like a big suit.
Yeah.
Little terrier in a human mech suit.
If that was the reveal in a horror movie, how fucking delighted would you be?
You'd
be like, holy shit, this writer is a genius.
Yeah. I would be very into that.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead. And we said yes on 3 or 4. So go ahead and mark 2 experience.
Yeah.
Julio, I'm 1 away.
Me too. I have
leveled up.
Yes.
Yeah. Do, do, do,
do, do, do, do, go shopping.
Laura.
We should do that every time one of us levels up, even if it's just us at home. Do, do, do. Megan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So I've got something else that may help you all out a bit. So we are going to be changing up the system just a little bit. Because I want to expand on really getting to know the characters. And this is something that I was introduced to by the Pest Control podcast in their second season. They're a sister show. If you don't listen to them, I highly recommend you give them a listen because they are spectacular at what they do. But yeah, they have a belief system. And I will go ahead and read this off. The belief system is it's taken from Beam Saber, who was created by Austin Ramsey. Thank you very much. And Sam, our producer, Sam Lagertson, has adapted it for Monster of the Week some. So here we go. A belief is a brief statement about how a hunter feels about another hunter. Beliefs are simple, quick, and influential in the rapport between the two hunters. However, the players need to remember that their beliefs are not necessarily true, as they are based on incomplete information and gut instinct. A good belief is something a hunter might say about their fellow hunter to a confidant, easily summarized so that it can be quickly remembered when relevant, potentially, but not definitely, true, suitable for the game's setting and tone, something both players are interested in exploring in their relationship as characters. If the belief notably came up during the last hunt, that hunter marks 1 point of experience. If it came up more than once, they mark 2. Whether or not they acted on a belief enough to earn experience is up to the discretion of the keeper. But in general, they earn XP when the belief affected the way they played their character during the hunt. For example, they refused to help a hunter they don't like. They never went somewhere alone. They refused to harm the hunter they secretly love, etc. If they rethought their belief, went against it, or learned something that changed their mind, in this case, they mark experience, then write a new belief for the next hunt.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I really like that. I felt like it would be very good. So each of you should have a belief for the other two hunters. Mm. And then I want you to have a belief on Hyperion, which is the corporation that Moth works for. And technically you all will be working for or connected to in some form or fashion. And then I want you to have an opinion for the world at large. It can be about, you know, what's going on, if there's a bigger mystery involved, you know, something to that effect.
Okay. Do we need
to? I love this. I found my answers.
Yeah.
I've been looking for them before and now I found them.
Is this something we need to do right now? Because I'm ready. I'm the SWAT at the first.
Well,
like,
you know
front
what?
Of the class.
I'm ready.
Usually we start teacher, with Laura, teacher. But let's go. Oh. Let's go in reverse order.
Yeah.
Me.
Oh, the look of joy on his face, audience.
I get to be first.
It was worth it.
Yes. Oh, and Megan gets to be second, a position she never gets to hold.
I'm the fulcrum. Thank you.
Exactly. You are. Yes, you are. You balance out both of our personalities perfectly. Megan is actually the transition point between Nye and Laura.
That's a big responsibility.
Of and 50% of Laura and made one person, it would be Megan.
Oh, God.
I don't think that's true, but.
You know, that's a lot to think about. I'm gonna think about it.
I will say, if we did Nye, Laura, Megan, then we would be all in a different order than usual.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I like this. Yeah. What if I was last? Okay, I know. I want to be last. I never get to be last. I want to be last.
Mostly, I just want, I'm very excited to hear what Reno thinks about everything, and I want to delay it as long as possible.
She has
so I can keep
an opinion. Okay.
Yeah, no, actually, that's very true. That's very, very true.
All right. Yeah. You know, I had this plan worked out of how, you know, I would unveil things, but your ideas are better. So let's just... Nye, you're first. Let's go here.
I feel bad now, Ray. I train wrecked it for you. Rearranged it.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. Okay. All right. So what's Mott's beliefs?
Beliefs. Okay. I'm good. I will try and make them concise, but it's me. So they might get a little bit jumbled, but I'll do best. So I guess World, Hyperion, Reno, and then Janine, because I feel like that's like the order of her understanding of things.
Okay, that's interesting. I was going to go say Hunters and then Hyperion in the World, but you do it how you want to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So her belief of the world is a cruel place where only the cruel can survive. Her belief of Hyperion, corrupt but strong, and strong is good.
I like that.
Her belief of Reno is frustrating but easy to deal with.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. And her belief on Janine is new but has potential.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I like all of those.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Laura.
I love those.
What does Janine believe about her fellow hunters?
All right.
Hyperion and the world.
All right. Well, go ahead.
And I do want to know at this point, Janine has not set foot in the Hyperion facility yet. That is something I do want to play out.
Yes. Okay.
After this point.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
I love how these intersect. Agent Moth is not trustworthy, and she will probably fry my brain the first chance she gets.
Okay.
Fair. Not wrong.
Just going on available evidence so far. Mm-hmm. Reno, I can help me maybe formulate this. Reno needs somebody friendly to keep her out of trouble. I can do that. I've babysat worse.
I love that.
Give me a lollipop.
Yeah, I think basically because like she's aware that it's Moth's job to keep Reno out of trouble, but she also thinks that Reno will keep rebelling against that, and like a friendlier touch might be more successful. So I may keep like working on the wording of that one.
I like the divorced parent energy going on for Reno right now. This is good for her.
Yes. My belief for Hyperion is I need a paycheck, but I'm not sure that working for Hyperion is like morally okay.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And associated with it on some deep level.
Yeah. Believe about the world. Aliens so far seems like a force of chaos that's probably bad for Earth. And I have one bonus belief.
Okay.
Which is that Gator is obviously smarter than I thought, and I need to get him a stronger leash.
That sounds like a to-do list thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Reno.
Okay. Agent Moth. It's another handler to work around. This one seems extra harsh. Stick in the mud. Boring.
Okay.
Yeah. Bleh. Not a fan. All right. Janine is very tall and tough, but also nervous around me for some reason. But Gator vouches for her. So, like, I think she's okay. I think. I don't know. Gator. Also, corollary. How Reno feels about Gator. Gator's a very good doggo. I want to be friends with Gator. I think maybe we're best friends already. All right. Okay. How Reno feels about Hyperion. Blah. They are boring and won't let me do things. But I have nowhere else to go. Listen, if I go on sabbatical, I could just go. But they find me. I kind of let them find me sometimes. I'm going to be really honest. Okay. How Reno feels about the world. This world is great. It's fun and exciting and bright and has lots of crunchy things. And I love it. I don't want to leave. But it's also like probably not a great thing that aliens are here. Even me. It's probably not good for it. So.
That's very interesting of a.
I actually really love that worldview of like, I love it here, but I probably should. Being locked in a chocolate warehouse and eating all the chocolate and going, I probably shouldn't be here, but I can't stop myself. It's so delicious.
Well, that's funny because I interpret it as like, if she should probably, like, she doesn't want to leave, but there are probably multiple reasons, not for herself, but for
Earth,
that she should not be here.
I like that.
Now, good.
Okay, so I am going to be asking you all to send me your thoughts. So if you want to write them out, but also I want to add a little like asterisk at the end of it. If this comes up in the mystery and I don't call it out, please feel free to call it out and say, "Hey, I think I'm going to act with my belief here."
Okay. Wait, we have to remember our beliefs, Ray. I don't remember what I said in the beginning of this episode.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Megan, I got you. You said Nye is awesome and definitely should get more experience points.
Is that for everybody or just... Okay, I see. All right. Hey, Ray, once I'm going to change what I think about some of my characters. One second. Jerk.
Belief on Nye. Jerk.
Yeah.
You know, I think I should also write up like beliefs for Gator.
Yeah.
And so his belief for Janine is that Janine is great and I love her more than anyone in the world. And her belief for Reno is she is great and I love her more than anyone else in the world.
I've seen where this is going.
She is great and I love her more than anyone else in the world.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I also love the idea of it's like, and here's Peter's beliefs. Woof. Okay. And now belief for, you know, woof.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you don't speak dog. You don't know what that means. They're different.
I'm pretty sure. We've decided Reno thinks she understands dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I bring this joke up every time. I love the idea that Reno is an outlier even within her own species. When others of her kind like appear, it's like, what? No, we can't talk to animals. She thinks we can talk to animals.
Yeah, they just not tried hard enough. You know what? Their Janine's are gentler than I was expecting.
Yeah, I was just being way harsher.
Yeah.
I was expecting expletives in there, to be honest.
Yeah. Reno must destroy.
I mean, she might. Well, see, I think. I mean, like, not that Janine would consciously put it this way, but like, I think sort of like Gator is vouching for Reno, and Janine wouldn't like consciously think of it that way, but like she's picking up on it.
Yeah. Gator hasn't just taken Reno in his mouth and just dragged her away, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, not again.
Okay.
Some animals don't like me. Please unbury me.
Hi, Megan Murphy here. And welcome to $2 Creature Feature Season 3,
Atlas. Hope you are enjoying the ride so far. We have so many adventures to share with you all. As always, thank you for listening and being a part of our Monster of the Week shenanigans. To stay up to date with our new episodes and all of our special announcements, make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at $2 Creature. That's $2 Creature with the number 2, the word dollar, and the word creature. We also have a Discord. If you want to chat with us and other fans about $2 Creature feature, or all other sorts of interesting stuff, join us on the Sephardi's Fun Fair Discord. And of course, we'd love for you to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/$2Creature, where you can support us for as little as $3 a month. Any and all support helps us to keep doing what we are doing. Plus, you get special access to all sorts of fantastic extras. So now is the perfect time to become one of our patrons and join the Hyperion Agency. A heartfelt shout out to our current Patreon patrons, Sheriff Jetsorian, Matt Calvert, Dixon, Julata Pang, Dark Jaguar, Kelly Brennan, Jason Myers, Poltergeist, JR the Hiker Bear, Nate Magnuski, Jen2K, Conan Liberian, and Sam Richardson. And an extra special thank you to Jet, our newest patron at our highest level. Jet gets to submit an NPC and a monster to our story. So thank you. And also, thank you all so much. We very much appreciate each and everyone who supports us. Gator thinks you are the best. And if you can't help financially right now, no worries. Retweets and shares and word of mouth are all a wonderful way to keep us doing what we are doing. And don't forget to give our podcast a rating if you can. Our promo this episode is for Negative Modifier, an actual play podcast specializing in darker and more mature games. And thanks again for traveling with us as we discover the secrets and dangers of a strange new world.
Are you the kind of person or unspeakable nightmare horror who likes actual play podcasts, but occasionally wants a break from all the high fantasy heroics? If so, you should check out Negative Modifier, an actual play podcast that specializes in darker, more mature games. You can find us on YouTube, Twitch, or more or less anywhere else podcasts can be found.
Alrighty, so the other thing I want to introduce for this season came from the Codex of Worlds. This is kind of a new update to the Monster of the Week system, and I am very excited about it. It came out since we started our second season, which is why season 2 doesn't have it, but it is a team playbook. Now, there are several team playbook options. There's the Agents in Black, Always on the Road, Chosen One on the Entourage, etc., etc. But the Agents in Black is the one that I feel like is what we are this season. Yeah. That's what we're trying to do. It's this kind of story we're trying to tell. So, and I love it because if you have the book, there is a lovely little gray alien in a black suit and a skirt that just...
This is terrible because I hadn't seen this when I created Reno. So then Ray sends us this Agents in Black thing. I'm like, how did they know? Reno would never wear a skirt and shoes. But also, how did they know?
Oh, thank you. So getting started is we pick a style and associated improvement question. We figure out the nature of the bureau and we pick a starting team, enemy, ally, move, and 2 asset selections. I'm going to say that the team enemy is like, well, we'll get there. So the style and improvement. Pick one of these style and associated questions. Okay, styles are hush. At the end of each session, ask, did we suppress knowledge of monsters in the supernatural? The greater good. At the end of each session, ask, did we protect civilian lives? By any means necessary, at the end of each session, to ask, did we stop the problem regardless of the cost? Or, you know, we have a custom one that we could work out on our own if we wanted to.
Are we asking Agent between, Moth?
I'll weigh in. It's not the second one. The greater good is an irrelevant part to the Hyperion.
Yeah.
Hush is probably closer to a Hyperion. Like, I put this, neither of these, like, the first and third one are not Hyperion's goal. Hyperion's goal is to make money. But that's not really something that we as agents do. So I guess the question is, where is Hyperion more concerned and why they would have agents? I'm leaning more towards Hush, because Hyperion's whole part of Hyperion's whole shtick, and Ray, you can disagree with this if it's not true, is if the world found out about aliens, then Hyperion's like bottom line would be threatened, because then, like, you know, it become a government body kind of thing, and then there'd be taxes, and oh gosh, now there's like regulations and stuff, where it's way better when nobody knows about it and you can just kind of do whatever you want. I feel like, I know it means by regardless of the cost, but I do kind of love the idea that Hyperion takes that literally, like, oh, solved, but it better not be expensive. Like, we need you to do this on a shoestring budget, and that's the goal. So I'm personally leaning towards Hush, like basically we failed this time around because Moth got two people involved. And while Hyperion does have a no killing people who find out the truth rule, I do also feel like they have a don't fucking adopt half a town's worth of people into the agency every time we send you out there. So I'm leaning on one, but I'd love to hear everyone else's stances.
Well, I'm thinking, is there any way to take the, you know, the basic Hyperion agent thing, which is like, hey, like, because it's like, yeah, don't let other people know aliens exist, but it very much is, you know, take care of aliens on vacation and stuff, and don't spend a whole lot of money on it.
I would say it's kind of like the closest thing I could compare it to, is it's and this is not a perfect one to one. It's kind of like, you know, when you take money out and like they say, we're going to send some guys if you don't pay us back. Like the agency is the guys. Like every alien knows they have to follow the rules. And every so often there's one that goes, those rules don't apply to me. I'm good. And it's like, no, you're not allowed to transform into a 6'10" tentacle monster on the Miami beach. You need to, that you're not allowed to do that. No, I can do that. It's like, well, okay, well, we're sending the agents to Miami agents. Yes.
Could we do something like our thing is like, we followed what Hyperion asked us to do in this particular situation. And that way we have a little bit of like, leeway. Like at one time they're like, keep this quiet. The other thing is, so just stop this.
So would you say the style is something like absolute loyalty, or like
it's competence. Oh, no. I think it's competence.
the company motto. And it's like, did you, yeah. And then that can be that would be the name. So at the end of each session, did you follow the company's like motto or line?
Oh, and then, which is what? Like, do it right, do it cheap, do it quiet.
Oh, I love that, Megan. That's perfect.
Say it again.
Do it right, do it cheap, do it quiet.
I love that. I fucking love that, Megan. That's beautiful.
I mean, if that's something we could work, I kind of like that idea. And that also gives us a couple different things to go, you know, overall, how did we do?
To be clear, when I say like, I'm not trying to lean into the fact that like Hyperion is, because I don't know, Ray, I think you and I talked about this kind of, but it's like, there probably is, okay, put it this way. If Hyperion is like Amazon, there are things that are around it that kind of are businesses that try to do this, but Hyperion's like, we let you, we don't buy you out because we don't need to, but don't try and compete with us, motherfuckers, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's where the commit cheap comes in. It's not because they don't have a budget. Is because they want to run as cost efficiently as possible.
Yeah. This is not boutique realistic. Alien management. This is like mass market. Like
Like
we can run into the boutique alien. Oh my god. Yes.
One as well. If you've ever seen any of these kind of shows, because even if you just said like, what is it, SCP or whatever, like they talk about having like front businesses, like Hyperion does for the reasons that like, you know, agents in black do, but they also just run businesses. Like they do just have, they have just bought chains for the express purpose of like the alien stuff is just a part of the business. Like, selling books is a part of Amazon's business. Okay, yeah, I really love that, though. Thank you, Megan. That was amazing.
Yeah, so at the end of... what is it? At the end of each session, I am going to ask, did you do it right, cheap, and quiet?
I feel like we should change it to cheap, quiet, right. I feel right should be at the end. Like, just... you know what? I'll post in our Discord. I feel like I want to finesse that, like the order of that.
We'll finesse it.
I the thing is though, I kind of like right being first because like when you like do your like you go to agent school because obviously every big business needs to have its own school. They just say do it right and they never tell you like ever.
I like that.
Do it right means like
I like
do
that.
It
right.
It's that thing where like the manager says to you, "Yeah, do it right," and you're like, "What the fuck? You've not told me how to do this." Yeah, do it right though. What does that mean?
Yeah, that sounds Hyperion. I like this.
How do I operate a forklift? Just do it right.
Yeah, this is great. I love it. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Incredible. Okay.
So so at the end of each session, I'm going to ask that question. If it's yes, we gain an improvement. And if yes, and it came up a lot, we gain 2 improvements. And then once we get the improvement, you can gain a new team move, gain a team ally, gain 2 new assets, or make the next mystery about your team enemy, giving you a chance to interfere with their plans.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So the setup is determined by the group. So we've kind of talked about this, and it gives like options for the team handler and commanding officer and what they're like. I've already handled that behind the scenes because I have characters that I want to run for this. So let's talk enemy.
Oh, we're so likable.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is the enemy of the bureau, I assume?
Well, no, it's specifically the enemy to our team, their chief nemesis.
Oh, okay.
Man, you know, on this, I almost want to pick this for us. Because some of these don't apply.
This feels more like a thing we figure out in story to me.
Yeah. So you know what?
I'm
gonna say, so if you all like if you do your team level up and you decide that you want to make the next mystery about the team enemy, then I will be like, okay, I'm gonna reveal a little bit more about the mystery from that. Does that work?
I do also feel like, and this is maybe just a thing that I always like. I like in like these kind of narratives where it's like, oh no, we have quite a few like things that could completely destroy the world, but right now we're dealing with this thing.
Yeah.
In the same way that like it's kind of like, you know, when you like all you have to do is like read one article about a company, you're like, oh Jesus, they do all of the bad things. It's the same sort of law. It's like, wait, just let me get clear. We're in a turf war with werewolves, an apocalyptic cult, the old gods, a rival faction, and also a dude called Grox. Did I have that right? It's like, yeah, and do not look at our carbon footprint. Do not look at that.
It's been a busy Tuesday.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a list of team allies that you can choose from.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
So the names are subject to change because I might build a new character off of this. But so our options are Dr. Blue, a physician. They can help you recover from harm. Professor Blood, a forensic scientist. They're who you go to when you need evidence analyzed. Agent Will, who is a field investigator. They're a veteran of the Bureau and can help you investigate problems with colleagues. Aquila Squad, an ally team. They are unofficially known as the Extreme Problem Squad. They can handle anything unfazed, but their solutions can be a little messy.
I feel like that's already us.
Yeah. Is that us?
I'll let Ray read the rest because I do have input on that.
Okay.
Skull Fangs, an ally team. This is a group of hackers you've made a sort of alliance with. They can help you get information through unorthodox channels, but they sometimes need you to do some odd or dubious favors in return. I kind of sort of hope you picked that one because I love coming up with odd and dubious favors.
Wait, like Larry Lawrence, is this you?
No, this is Barry and Lawrence.
I would love it if it's like, no, this is Larry and Lawrence. We swapped the first letters around. It's like, that's still your name.
Yeah, that sounds like no, a Larry and Lawrence, Lawrence move. Larry.
Oh no. At this point, like, those two have several like doctoral equivalencies. They just haven't graduated yet.
They haven't graduated, yeah. It's Dr. Larry.
So my input, and you guys can check as well, but as the professional, I do get as an improvement an extra squad of people that I can just call upon. So I'm thinking maybe not Aquila squads, because we'll basically just get that anyway. Unless, Ray, you want us to have two squads. So we just have a small like platoon ready to go.
Or we have one squad and Moth pisses them off so much that we can no longer call that squad.
I do like that as well, but I've got bad news for you, Megan. We're already at that stage.
Moth is kind of
a pariah in the agency. There's a reason she was sent for Reno.
Yeah, Reno knows it. Like, oh boy.
Wouldn't it be fun, you know, if, you know, Aquila Scott squad or whatever it winds up being called was a squad that you would send out on other missions to sort of supplement yours.
I know where you're going with this, Shrey, but
if they were guests from other shows.
Yes, but I'm saying, can we wait until I get the improvement?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. That's what
I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's a waste to kind of do that because I also have a narrative reason she would get that.
Oh, nice.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying down the road. Like, that's an idea.
I'm leaning towards the first two, like a doctor, professor, or the hackers is where I'm leaning.
The hackers sound super fun to me.
I do wonder I guess Moth would have the connection. Like, she's just like, I helped them out with something once. It was, I don't want to talk about it. It was a messy, so messy.
Can we have the hackers and the doctors? Cause I kind of like the idea of a xenobiologist doctor.
So you get one to start with.
Okay. Then let's go with the hackers. No, I'm fine.
I are you sure? Okay.
Yeah. No, this is fun. Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah. Then I think Nye will introduce them like at some point, like within the next mystery,
when it's most narratively, like, because I think we do need to like have a genuine reason rather than just bring them up like, there's also these hackers here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, I play Fortnite with them.
Stop.
I do kind of like the idea that somehow. That like somehow we all have a connection to this group of hackers.
That would be funny.
Separately.
But indirectly. Yeah. Like one of them is Janine's like second cousin or something. Like, wait a minute, I've seen you at family gatherings.
I was thinking like one of them is like Janine's like bootleg like hookup. Because you know, yeah, like Janine's roommate definitely like bootlegs movies.
Well, I was just about to say if you're in a bootleg hookup.
I thought you meant something like, completely different.
Oh, you mean goods, video not games, services.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was also gonna say, Ray.
No. Oh God, no.
I was also gonna say, Ray, that's a great thing to give to Laura. Hey Laura, start talking about video games, a thing you definitely have an encyclopedic knowledge on at all times.
So it could be like I wanted to get a gift for Joel, and now this guy keeps calling me like because he thinks I like the games, and I don't want to screw up the connection, but
like that. Yeah.
I love that.
What did you really think of the new Sonic game? It's like, I don't know what a Sonic is, okay? Apart from the people I deliver for.
Joel's like, I can't wait for the next one.
So I think the hackers thing is a good call.
We all have to come up with a hacker that's our connection.
So we're gonna move on, but I do want to give a small anecdote. And this is on recording as well from another show I did. But we had a guy in a similar setup to this who was a flake. And he would always, like, he had the whole, like, hacker connection sort of thing that the flake gets. And he would always fail. And narratively, like, basically if you fail for that one, they don't want to help you or they're not that interested. And narratively, how he said was he kept lowballing them. Like, he kept pitching them absurdly easy, like, hacking jobs. So they were just like, what the? We can hack into security cameras. That's boring.
Why would you want that? We have such bear. So I kind of hope that comes up as well. Just like, yeah, we need you to hack into this Facebook account. It's like, that is trivial. Please give us something more meaty to deal with, please. Okay. like a bank, maybe a bank system or something. Okay. Sorry, Ray.
I like it.
No, you're fine. So the next one that we are going after are the team moves. Now, Megan and Laura and I kind of talked about this before you were on Nye. So we get to pick out one of these. And one of the moves is Memory Eraser. Now, I know we've delved into this with already of having it. But I think what it is like right now we have like that 15-minute time limit. Like that's what we erase. If we want something like more, that's what this option is for. Like, you know, well, your Hyperion comes out with a heavier dose.
I'm also fine if that's something that only Moth does. Like, and that's actually a big thing, like, they have an issue with, is that Moth is, like, really okay with this and everyone else is like, no, Moth, it's against regulations for this explicit purpose because if you fuck it up, they get goo brain, literally. So I'm okay if that's, like, a thing she does, but, like, it doesn't actually, like, if you guys aren't comfortable with it or you don't think it's going to work.
I think that's fun. Yeah. Yeah. Because I don't I don't think Janine would do that. And I was like, I think that's kind of a fun tension to have.
I like it. It's a very Moth thing. And I think that's very part of her character. So, yeah, I like that being like, that's Moth's thing.
We're going to get into it more when we actually like role play the scene. But like legitimately, yeah. Moth is not at all what most agents are. She is very, very, very far on the other end of the scale.
It gives us places to go. I like that.
Yeah.
I was just gonna read through the moves. So we have the memory eraser, which would expand how many hours you wish to erase up to 6. Then we have authority override. If local officials are causing you trouble, you can get them pulled off the case. This may, of course, make them more suspicious. A containment field projector, which you place the projector and activate it, shooting a range from 1 to 20 meters. A spherical shield is created, allowing nothing in or out. It lasts until deactivated by remote or in an hour when the battery runs out. There is time to get out of the zone, but only just. Anonymity, which is where your identity isn't traceable via official databases or records. Enemies or bystanders can't find out anything about your history through any official channels. Additionally, any distinguishing features are removed from photos, videos, or voice recordings of you when they're processed by any regular computer or phone. Then we have Not Right, which is you have a creepy, uncanny valley style aura or a look that counts as a reason for manipulating a bystander with a threat.
That sounds personal. if Moth gets the memory thing, I think that's such a part of Reno that it'd be weird as a group thing.
But I was also gonna add, I have the theory for anonymity and for Not Right that the agency does employ like a psychic or two. We did talk about this though. They don't like have psychic teams. Because they found out very quickly having psychics as agents goes wrong very quickly. But I like the idea that there's like just a psychic aura of like, oh, we make you not pleasant to be around. Like when you work for us and when you're on the case, when you put that suit on, you become something people don't want to be around because we don't want you like being a friendly face. We need you to be this. We need you to be a tax collector. We need you to be something that people go, I think they went that way. Oh, geez. God, they're so creepy. But I think anime also works in that regard. That it's just like, yeah, you can't take family photos when you're in the suit. It's not a good idea.
Okay.
It'll be someone else there. Your parents are like, who the fuck is this? Isn't that supposed to be our daughter? Why is that? What?
Well, this actually might be an interesting thing to be, not Janine based, but like what would be something interesting that would be something new that Janine would have to incorporate? Because I feel like a lot of this would make sense, like as someone who's been detained by Hyperion / employed by Hyperion. Like any of that would work, I think. But I feel like what's the most interesting situation for Janine to find herself in.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
I would add, though, just aside, I don't think authority override is good because the agency is not has no jurisdiction to do that. So I like the idea that they may claim that they can do that. But in reality, like, if you flash your badge, it's like, you got this out of a cereal box. We know it's not real. Like, it's obviously a fake. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I like that idea, though, Megan. Janine.
I like that,
perspective
too.
Win.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the overall group, I like the idea of not right, because either both Moth and Reno
are already there.
Are already
there.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, they're naturally there. Yeah.
Yeah. And like that just makes sense to me.
Oh, no. And now Janine, by reflection, is also not. Oh, no. It's a tragedy.
I actually think that really works, though, in terms of character development. The idea that Janine is now to get used to the facts that at least when she, because I do think, like, as much as I'm playing up, I don't think Hyperion, like, perpetually keeps people in servitude. Like, they have weekends off and stuff like that. I mean, the hours aren't great, but you get something. And I do like the idea, it's like, just when you're in the suit, like, it's a cycle. Like, yeah. In the same way, what's that thing they talk about? You can fool anyone as long as you're in the right outfit. It's like, if you walk in dressed as a doctor, people will think you're a doctor. Until, obviously, they ask you about, you know, the surgery, and you're just like, I'm a delivery driver. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, no, I like that idea. Janine's like in the suit all of a sudden, like people don't want to be around her.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And
I
so
like
there
that.
Is, and there's also, before we started recording, I think it was just when Megan and I were on, there is another move from a playbook that I'm looking at for the future that would interact really interestingly with this.
Oh, I like that. Yes.
So I'm not going to say it now, but.
Excellent.
Yeah, and like,
we're a bunch of weirdos.
I think anonymity.
What's new?
Yeah, yeah, and like I think in terms of like interesting situations to be in, I think anonymity, like that's a great like actually to have a story about it piece. But I also think that like if Janine is sort of presented with that from the beginning, it's harder for her to make the choice to become part of Hyperion. It's sort of...
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So that could be something that sort of... either is like a new policy that comes down or a new technology that comes down at some point.
Yeah, like that. Yeah,
Or it's like always been the case, but she doesn't know it to start with or something.
Well, we'll also just throw this out there. The reason why we're going right over, the containment field projector is neat, but that is all it is. Like, I think narratively, there's just nothing there. It does feel kind of like the odd one out. Like, all the other ones have genuine, like, interesting narrative weight. And, like, authority override, while we're, like, ignoring it, I do think, like, there's a kind of fun to be had. Like, and also there's a bit of narrative back and forth where it's like, you keep telling the same sheriff to back off. But, like, also... It's just force field.
I do want to play devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. So for the containment field, force field projector, we don't have magic in this setting. So if you want to trap a creature in minion or monster, you could do that with this.
But also, that sounds expensive. That sounds like gear you would give, like, if you really want the job to thing. I like that. That's what I'm saying. Narratively, there's not a lot to it.
With her telekinesis, technically Reno could be a containment field, depending on her role.
Fair enough.
I also feel like they just give us like when they give us just a pet carrier. It's like, there you go. It's like this
and
thing's
then,
4 foot. Yeah.
Work for the out. Authority override. One thing that two of the tags that you've given me for Hyperion is they're well funded and they have good intel. So I couldn't see that if you make a call for a bribe to get somebody taken off a case, Hyperion would do that.
No, I agree with that. But again, it says local officials. Like, I feel like what they can pull is like, they can get like, how about this? They can make a call and it's like, you don't want to do this kind of thing. But I do feel like it would, I don't know. It doesn't, because again, I'm not attacking this from the position of they are like the men in black. I'm attacking mm-hmm. this more from they are a corporation. And yes, when they are well funded, they're wealthy, but like it's more of a, we will do this because we know that if we don't do this, it will be more expensive, but we're not happy about spending the money. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's like, why don't we just get a new printer? Well, the old one works just fine. It doesn't. It only works half the time. Ah, but half the time it works. So there you go. Yeah,
no, I understand. I wanted to put those options out there as
yeah,
a
devil's
advocate.
Yeah, of course. No, I respect that. Thank you. Take this. Thank you.
But the first one is up to you all.
Yeah, we're going to go with not right then to start with.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, works. Yeah.
Okay.
Hello. I'll take care of this. Okay, we got kicked out of the Applebee's. We are no longer welcome. There's a dead possum back there. Hey, y'all. That's a tie into a one-shot we did. Check out our trash pails one.
Oh, yeah.
I just that's tied so that good. Universe in here. You're welcome.
Excellent.
That's in every universe, Megan. Don't pretend. It's in every universe.
Okay, so the last thing we have to talk about are assets. You choose available assets. If there are two boxes, you need to mark both to earn that asset. You start with two. Mobile base, which is two, which will just like give you a mobile base to have. Individual transportation, each mission, a regular car, motorbike, or bicycle is assigned to every team member. R&D access, which is where you are issued with highly useful high technology experiment from R&D each mission. I decide what it is. If it's always useful, usually problematic with side effects. Headquarters, that is relatively secure space to use as a base. Everything you need to prepare for mystery is here, and it is quite secure. So as long as you don't have that one, like Hyperion is open to, like, you know, if a villain were to attack Hyperion, like it's not a secure facility, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Sky scanners, which you have access to a scanning network that will alert you to strange events coming from space. This includes weird phenomena as well as UFOs. Hyperion has something like this, but for now, like you're getting relayed information and you wouldn't be able to search for stuff without having this option. Workshop, you have a big space for craft and repair projects with plenty of tools and materials. A disguise kit, which contains costumes, makeup, and other supplies for a quick change of appearance. Housing, which each member of the team is assigned a one-bedroom apartment in a generic housing project. All apartments are exactly the same, down to scuff marks on the door. And then rapid response pods, when any member of the team needs to get to a mission site quickly, a rapid response pod appears next to them. Enter the pod, and a short, uncomfortable trip will place you where you need to be. And then a custom in case we need it.
I want to hear what Laura and Megan have to say first. I will say, my only point I'll add is, I think it's worth noting, it's not that Hyperion doesn't have all of this already, it's that we're not allowed to touch any of it until we...
Exactly. Yeah, that's...
They
that's
definitely have a helicopter. We're just not allowed to touch the helicopter.
Or lick it, again.
Yeah, that's exactly why we're not allowed to touch it, because someone licked it.
Someone licked it.
Yeah. I wanted to see what it tasted like. It tasted delicious. I want to go back and get the helicopter.
Again, we invented these things. These are not new. These are not unique to Earth. Why are you so enamored? Oh, you know what?
They're I'm going to get in I don't know. Like, part of me is like, should we just secure headquarters first? Or do we pick a couple? Like, I'm like, oh, crap. What if we have to run back and, like, take care of Hyperion? But then again, I don't know.
I mean, in some way, the one here that sounds like the most immediate fun to me is R&D. It's like, here's like a weird piece of equipment that like
Ray.
Hyperion
Ray's
is
like, yes.
that Hyperion is like testing. And it is
oh, we're
going
like,
to backfire
we're like
in some way.
Oh, yeah. Are we
actually,
like
that.
QA testers?
Yeah, they're like, give it to
they
them.
Just double
it's,
up
it's like the beta
QA.
Beta equipment.
Yeah. Give it to Z team. Oh man.
Okay, I here's my pitch. I like the idea of holding off on headquarters only because I like the fact that it's like, no, You're not going to the big, big boss. Fuck off. You go to like the dinky little like built like office we let out. Yeah. The one that we let out in the city. I don't know about you, Ray. I feel like getting the rapid response pods right now is, are we going to be going to places that are really far away that are rapid response pods? I do love the idea that it's like, however shape it takes, it's like, oh, is this safe? We don't. It abides by the legislation that we are legally obligated to abide by.
I find them roomy.
You will be traveling at least U.S. nationwide.
Okay.
I like the housing, but I also feel like that's, yeah. My pick would be the R&D access because I love what Laura just suggested and the housing, but that's just me.
I don't want to influence y'all's opinion, but those were the two that like I would think would make sense working out.
Oh no, Joel.
Yeah, that is the death. But I mean,
who's to say that Joel doesn't just come live with you?
Oh my God, what if that's the apartment building?
Oh God, he can't afford the rent without Janine.
No.
Your apartment building is the thing.
Yes.
That's why it's this rundown, crappy thing. Hyperion owns it. And it just rents out a couple as a cover.
No, I was going to say, Megan, they don't own it yet. But as soon as they find out, they're just like, all right, I guess we're buying it.
It's easier to buy it.
Yeah. And then you're just like, wow, I've just talked to the neighbors. The rent's gone up by 200%. Yeah, that's Hyperion for you. You're going to lose a lot of neighbors pretty quickly.
But it works out because like
shitty landlords.
Actually, it's kind of lovely because like Janine in the end isn't even going to get her own apartment because I think they'll be like, no, you just stay with Joel. You have rent control. We just don't want to mix.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We still have to rent out these other apartments and we don't.
I love it.
And Reno's been living in a cell in Hyperion. She's going to get her own apartment.
Oh God.
right next to and I also love the idea that Martha's like and we both are forcibly relocated to live on either side of like Janine's apartments.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that we're sold on R&D and housing.
Yeah.
Because I really do love the idea that at the start of every adventure we're just given like a thing. And it's like, yeah, we don't know. Maybe we'll sell it to military contractors and maybe we'll sell it to Apple. We're not really sure where this is going.
If it starts ticking, have Reno swallow it.
If it doesn't start ticking, have Reno swallow it.
Either way, at the end, just let Reno swallow it. That tends to cover every... Wakonk comes back. Hi. Yeah, it blew up. Yeah.
What of it?
Yeah.
Sort of like that saying, if it moves and it's not supposed to... duct tape, if it doesn't move and it's supposed to, WD-40. Yeah.
If it blows up or it's not supposed to blow up and it does, feed it to Reno.
And definitely, like Hyperion leans into that kind of like Silicon Valley, like we make things that sound futuristic and cool, but we don't like understand how human beings need to live. So it sounds cool. It's like when it's like, yeah, like it's a VR glasses that you can wear when you go to McDonald's. It's like, I can just order at McDonald's. They have self-checkout now. I really don't need VR for this, buddy. I guess.
This is a great amount of power to give to Ray. I mean, look at the joy in his eyes.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
So happy about
this. The housing, like, I was just imagining, like, Hyperion would have just these, like, shitty identical apartments, like, set up on base, and that's where Moth's been living, and you all just move in. Like, Reno's getting an upgrade, but buying out Janine's apartment building
yes.
just sounds so much more sinister, and love it.
It's terrible.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And they will increase the rent. They'll leave Janine alone, but they'll increase every single other... It's about to become a ghost town, this apartment. And again, that's by design, but not because they want to have anonymity, because they're too greedy to understand basic housing.
I don't want to have to wait to use a treadmill. And it's just her on the treadmill, like she's not running on it. It's just her body flat on it. Yeah.
No, Janine just walks into the rec room one day and all of the treadmills are just lined up in one long row.
Yeah.
And at one end, you just see... Reno is just sitting inside of a big like storage tub.
Oh, here it comes.
And then hits a button and then just like swoop and just shoots down all of them.
I also love the idea that it's just like it's the day that I make the goo. It's like what does that mean? It's like everything I touch is just slightly just like
also this allows an idea of Reno being in her regular form. Since if nobody else is there, except for occasionally Joel, and I'm curious if Joel will even notice, in all honesty.
That's just what kids look like these days.
Like, that's what I need a wig for. I don't want to do the whole shape change. I just put a wig on. Hi, Joel.
Hey, hey Janine, this is kind of weird and awkward, but like, is there something wrong with Reno's skin? I don't know if it's gray or if I'm just really high.
You need to moisturize. I need a
condition.
Yeah, no, talk about my condition.
No. Reno does not need to moisturize. Actually, Reno is in the case where moisture is the last thing. Yeah.
Stop trying to feed me desiccants.
All right. I think that covers all of...
Oh, we did sitcom it real well, didn't we?
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Come and knock on my door. I've been waiting for you.
I love that. Oh, that's so good.
Every night, Janine puts Gator in his crate, and every morning she goes and picks him up from Reno's apartment, where he has somehow gotten.
Yeah, we were watching movies. I let him choose.
I also love the idea that you're just like, you're getting to bed, and you just like, just randomly hear a gunshot go off, you're like, God, I really hope that's just Moth getting like frustrated and drunk again. Yeah, it is. It's okay. It's like
the walls, like she's just so thin. She's so thin.
It's just like, yeah. It's just she's watching Jeopardy and she's just like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, she got a question wrong again.
Oh, yep. We all have to pretend we didn't hear Moth the entire because it's just awkward. Yeah, exactly.
And for the next $100, can you tell me the capital of France? Marseille. It's fucking Marseille. I know it's Marseille. You're both just like, oh, Jesus.
No, she's going to blame
us. It's Marseille. Paris. What the fuck?
Yep.
I love it.
I don't know why I love that so much.
Okay, then. We will save that for next time. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye. Thank you, Robot Mommy. Yes.
What if I didn't say it? We'd be in trouble.
I have a clip of you talking about that for like 2 minutes about how you would just love to live in robot goo, like the Matrix.
Yeah.
Like the worst part of that is just leaving your pod.
Exactly. And
I really just want to release that, like probably to the patrons, but
you know, one, go for it. Two, I'm not running for office. Three, I'm not lying.
No,
tell me I'm wrong.